Hi, this is Scott Finn, Executive Director at West Virginia Public Broadcasting, and you're on The Front Porch. And today we have a really special show. Rick Wilson and Lori Lynn are taking a break, and we have with us instead Susan Shoemate. She is the publisher of the Charleston Gazette-Mail. And we're going to talk about the combination of two venerable institutions in West Virginia, the Charleston Gazette and the Charleston Daily Mail, into one single newspaper and what that means for the future of the media here and for West Virginians as a whole. Susan, thanks for joining us.
No, thank you for having me.
So you've combined the news operations and the sports as well on both the Charleston Daily Mail and the Charleston Gazette into one newspaper. Talk about what that means.
That means that our reporters are working together for the same stories. Instead of having to send two people to city council, one from the Daily Mail, one from the Gazette, we only have to send one to cover that story, and that leaves one reporter with the ability to cover some other local story that neither paper may have been able to cover.
Weren't we one of the very last two newspaper cities in America? I mean, this is something that used to be common everywhere and now is common almost nowhere.
Well, we are one of the holdouts for two newspaper city, and we're really, I think we're one of the smallest two newspaper cities. You know, financially for Charleston newspapers, it wasn't an option any longer. We really needed to merge the two newsrooms so that we could really give readers great local coverage. Without combining the two newsrooms, the newsrooms would have continued to shrink, local coverage would have continued to diminish, and we would have ended up carrying a lot more wire content. And I don't think that that's really what any reader of a newspaper wants to see. They want to be able to read their local issues and read what's going on in their hometown.
Over the last several days, we've seen some examples of this. I saw two reporters covering the landslide at the Eger Airport, one from the meeting angle and one from out in the field.
Right. And so it's been great to be able to have those two reporters covering different aspects of a story. And it's also been nice to see where they may not be sharing sources. They're definitely sharing information that they're getting from their sources. And it's making the stories better and they're deeper and they're, to me, a little more fulfilling when I read it.
And I should disclose, I got my start in journalism at the Charleston Gazette. It was a wonderful, wonderful experience, a great place to learn a craft. So let's talk about the thing you are losing, competition.
Right.
So there's a trade-off, isn't there? On one hand, it's much more efficient. You can go deeper on stories. On the other hand, you won't have necessarily that same sort of competition anymore between two City of Charleston reporters or two Putnam County reporters. Do you think that that's going to be an issue?
No, I don't think that's an issue at all. And I think that there's enough other news coverage in our area that that isn't an issue at all. I mean, we have NPR, we have the TV stations, we have a plethora of news. You may pick up and read our paper, you may listen to you in the car, but you also have the availability to hear any of this on the internet. Basic newspaper competition that you were looking at 20 years ago is no longer in existence because the market has changed.
Online, if you follow Twitter, for example, whether you're a reporter for the TV station or for us or for the Gazette, all the tweets look the same.
And also
there are people who are not full-time journalists that are doing a fine job telling the story of what's going on at the city council meeting or the school board. So where does the new Gazette Mail position itself in West Virginia? What is the thing that the Gazette Mail is going to do better than anybody else that's going to be your future and your business model?
I see our future and our business model being able to really dig into the local stories. We have wonderful reporters on the Daily Mail side and on the Gazette side. Just the amount of news coverage now that we have, you know, as you would know, you get a list of stories by about midday of what's going to be in the paper. And like at the Gazette, ours used to maybe have 7 or 8 stories. And yesterday it had 19, which is just a huge depth of stories that we're able to cover now. I've talked to a couple people who have said, you know, I used to kind of be able to whip through my paper in the morning and then go on with my day. And now I'm really having to carve out a chunk of time in the morning to be able to read everything.
There are a lot of different beats or subject areas mm-hmm. that the newspaper focuses on. As you move forward, what are the beats that you think are the most important for the future of the Gazette Mail?
Well, you know, right now we're just going starting to go through that process of trying to figure out what is the most important, where do we want to go. And I think, in all honesty, they're all equally important. And certainly we would like to see a better multimedia presence, web presence, than either newspaper's been able to do in the past. And so by combining these two newsrooms, we've really felt that we'll be able to strengthen that web presence. And, you know, there are a lot of really creative people in our newsrooms that have been able to come forward and say, gosh, I think that maybe this would be a great way for us to present this story. And working together, we've seen stories take on a web presence in a different light than either one of us would have thought to do last week.
If you had to name, let's say, three or four things that the newsrooms put out that you hear out in the community, we go to these papers for this, this, and that, what comes to mind?
Just the local news. I mean, what it is in your community that's going on as far as the government, the entertainment, sports. I mean, certainly sports is a huge one because everybody wants to know how their high school sports team is doing, how WVU, how Marshall, how all these great teams that we have in West Virginia are doing.
Does this mean that most of the print readership of the New Gazette Mail is going to be in the Kanawha Valley, the vast majority of it? Does that mean we're going to see more and more in-depth local coverage of the Kanawha Valley? How do you balance that out with the state newspaper?
Well, I think certainly we have, state government here. And so you certainly are going to be covering state government all the time.
Well, in Charleston, state government is local,
it
right?
It is. Exactly. So I guess I don't even differentiate, the state government being anything outside of the city. But it certainly encompasses the entire state.
Sports, state government, local news.
Mm-hmm. Entertainment.
Mm.
You know, what's going on in your city for the evening, for the weekend? What are some great things that you can take your children to do or you can enjoy being a part of? I think that's all important.
You're a relatively new publisher, correct?
I am.
How long have you been on the job, Susan?
3 weeks.
So Susan Shoemate, the new publisher of the Charleston Gazette Mail. What's it like to take over the reins of this family business shortly before having to do this huge job of merging the two newsrooms?
Well, I think for me, I really hadn't gotten ingrained in the Gazette side. So it's very energizing. I see a lot of excitement. I see a lot of people working together that may have never worked together before. And I really enjoy that.
Part of the reason for doing this, as you said, was to be able to be more economical and efficient as a newspaper.
Mm-hmm.
And so that means that there are going to be fewer people working in the newsroom after this process is over than at the beginning. It would go from 78 people to about 65. Is that right?
That is right. That's the number that we're sort of looking to get to.
How do you get there?
Well, we are doing a reapplication process. They will give us a cover letter and their resume, but also include in there certain skills that we may have never known that they had because we didn't have the availability to do it. But, the Gazette newsroom right now is at 45. The Daily Mail newsroom has a capacity of 33, but they have 32. So with a newsroom of 65, you're looking at a much deeper newsroom than either paper had previously, which I think is really the key. Because you can have we can have a separate desk for web services. We can have a separate desk for video. I don't know that that's where we'll go with these, but our jobs will be posted by the 31st. And by then, we will have sort of been able to dream up the super newsroom or the dream newsroom.
Is part of this the reason to have people reapply so that you can see what people's skills are and try to build this new newsroom based on that information?
Absolutely. And there might be somebody who's covering something they really don't like.
Maybe it's possible that there's a topic that you guys aren't even covering yet.
We've already started getting emails from our staff saying, they're doing this in this city. Wouldn't this be fantastic for us to do here in Charleston? And it's great seeing the staff in the newsrooms putting their stamp of what they think the newsroom of the future will be.
So part of this whole reapplication process is you guys really don't have like a how can I say it? There's no blueprint for what this is going to look like at the end. You're figuring it out by working with the newsroom.
We are.
Maybe some folks will retire or leave on their own, but you're going to probably have to lay off somebody.
Right. There's nothing positive about somebody losing their job. But the Charleston Gazette and the Charleston Daily Mail really haven't had the deep news cuts that other news organizations have had to have. And so it's not easy, but it's something that's being seen industry-wide.
It's necessary, isn't it, in order to keep this institution strong? You can't continue to support a staff of 78, correct? I mean,
correct.
One of the things that was in one of the articles about the merger in your paper was a promise to do more investigative reporting, which is certainly something both papers were known for. Share with us a little bit about what you're thinking about on that right now.
When we talk about investigative journalism, I think at most journalists' heart, that is their dream job, is they want to be able to really, whether they cover healthcare or education or city council, they really want to be able to get to the bottom of the story. They want to know the whole truth. And when you're able to cover any story a little bit more thoroughly than you've been able to cover in the past, where you're not trying to get three stories in the paper the next day, you're able to really focus on one great story, it gives you that ability to put out that story that has a little more of the investigative qualities. People want to read, and as a journalist, you want to write.
So this isn't just a job you walked into yesterday. This has been the family business for many, many decades.
It has.
Your mother, of course, is the previous publisher before you, Elizabeth Chilton, and, of course, Ned Chilton, who famously talked about sustained outrage to keep talking about an issue until the public finally pays attention. How does the Gazette continue that tradition when it becomes the Gazette Mail?
Any great newspaper has that strong adversarial tone because they want to make sure that the public is aware of what the issues are that are going on around them, and they don't want to see anything get swept under the rug.
It's that watchdog role.
It is. And I think that journalists take that role very seriously, especially newspaper reporters. And I don't see that diminishing, even combining the newsrooms, because every journalist in their heart of hearts wants to get to the bottom of the story and know the whole truth.
So I'm going to talk a little bit about the differences between the Daily Mail and the Gazette. Obviously, mm-hmm. their editorial pages are left of center and right of center. Open up the Gazette Mail, that's what you see.
Right.
On the left side is the Gazette, on the right side is the Daily Mail. Why keep that? You've made that a priority. Why keep those two separate opinion pages as a priority?
Because I think that the Charleston Gazette readers and the Charleston Daily Mail readers identified with those pages. And that was the core reason why they subscribed to either one of those newspapers. By keeping those, we really want readers to feel like we are embracing what they want. We've had a combined newspaper for the last 10 years with the Saturday paper where we've done these editorial pages on either side, and it's been great.
One of the things that is sometimes said about either the Gazette or the Daily Mail back in the old days is that it wasn't just their opinion pages that may have tilted to the left or the right, that sometimes the reporting also did so. I'm not going to ask you to defend that, but how would you describe the non-editorial page news coverage and the attitude that it will take and the reporters and editors will take towards state government, towards controversial issues? What's sort of like the mission statement for the newsroom, the combined newsroom now?
My mission statement for the combined newsroom will be that we cover everything fairly and evenly. And while you may not always feel like it was fair or even, it also may be who was being written about, you know? I mean, there are times where there might not be a flattering story about a Republican or a Democrat. And I don't think that either of them are going to say, well, gosh, that was, you know, really fairly written, you know?
You get criticism from both sides, don't you? I mean,
sure we do. I don't think that you're necessarily doing a great job if you don't get criticism from both sides, because as you said, a newspaper's job tends to be to watch what's going on in the community. And not everyone's going to like what you're going to say.
West Virginia Public Broadcasting is a state agency.
Mm-hmm.
And I was at a state-mandated training where it came up. It was said, how would that look, that ethical decision you're making, how would that look if that was on the front page of the Charleston Gazette? This newspaper is the one thing between a lot of people and bad decisions, between a lot of state officials and corruption. The fear that they will end up in your newspaper is the thing that makes people think twice about doing something shady. What's it like to have that responsibility on your shoulders?
Well, first of all, I think that's awfully, I guess, kind of you to say, because I don't know that we would feel that we were the lone thing that stood between somebody making a good or a bad choice.
You're definitely the example that's used. How would it look on the front page of the pick your paper, but the Charleston Daily Mail, the Charleston Gazette?
Well, I think it leads us to think that we have an awful lot of responsibility to our readers to make sure that we do cover those stories and we cover them honestly and fairly and make sure that we're really delving into every aspect of it. And I hope that with this new newsroom and a larger newsroom, we'll be able to really delve into every aspect of a story.
This is Scott Finn, Executive Director at West Virginia Public Broadcasting. We're looking for the right person, business, or nonprofit institution to underwrite The Front Porch. It's your opportunity to show your support for civil dialogue and tackling the tough topics that face us here in West Virginia and in Appalachia. If you're interested, shoot me an email. I'm at sfinn@wvpublic.org. That's sfinn@wvpublic.org. And thanks. Let's talk a little bit about revenues. How do you figure out how to make money off of this? I imagine that the Charleston Gazette and the Charleston Daily Mail receive a lot of web traffic. But how do you monetize that?
You know, that's the question every news organization is asking right now. And it's very difficult. You know, it's an industry-wide question and one that nobody really has a great answer for. So that's not what you wanted to hear, but...
Well, I mean, I don't have an answer either. We're in the same boat.
You know, every conference that you go to, it has something to do with how are you going to monetize the web traffic? And there's no easy answer for it.
So this was announced on Sunday afternoon. It was exactly 5 years after the exact day that a federal agreement basically expired that allowed you to make this decision. Let me confirm. Was that the reason that was the day that was picked?
It is, and it was a financial necessity for the paper. There is no doubt about it. I mean, when you look at any newspaper in the country, we're all struggling, and it was a real financial necessity if we wanted to maintain a strong newsroom. You know, if we had wanted to start making cuts to the Gazette staff and the Daily Mail staff, you know, that's what the budget would have demanded. And I don't think that either newspaper would have made it out being a strong newspaper if there had been any more cuts made in those newsrooms. We weren't letting people go, but if somebody left, we had a lot of attrition. And it would be, you know, it would come down from the budget. Well, we can't hire anybody else new in that spot. So, you know, people have been talking about in years past, we used to have a K through 12 reporter for education plus a higher education reporter, and they could really get all the stories. And now we've got, you know, one person who covers K through 12 all the way up through higher ed. And it makes it very difficult to be able to cover all those stories and do it well.
So that explains some of the timing of it. You're dealing with a room full of journalists. I guess there's no easy way to announce something like this, because the minute, if you tried to like telegraph it in advance to the staff, then you might as well announce it because it would have been everywhere.
Well, it would have been, and people are passionate about their papers. They really are. And by showing them the example of what we can do without letting people worry about it and fret and say, oh, my news coverage is going to change in a month, my news coverage isn't going to be the same, I think readers would have been much more unhappy too. There's never an easy way to announce this.
So by doing it this way, what you allowed to have happen, instead of people worrying about it for a month or two in advance, it happened, and then people the very next day saw the result of that, which has been more coverage.
Right.
When you're growing up and your dad was the publisher, and then later as a young adult, your mother's the publisher, did you see yourself stepping into this role, or is this something that you came to over time?
Certainly when I was young and my father was in this role, I did not see myself there. I mean, I was so young. I was 18 when he died. And I don't think at 18 I was thinking, gosh, this is where I'll be. This is what I'll be doing. You know, at that point, I didn't even know what my major would be in college. But I knew it was a tremendous sense of pride that you have when your family is involved in a business that people look to. And then my mother stepped in, and she did a fantastic job. And it makes me proud every day to think about what my parents did and how they led with honesty. And certainly I'd like to follow in those footsteps. It's a little different for me because we're consolidating these two papers, and we're watching them combine, and you know, we do have these two editorial pages, and we're watching reporters work on both sides of the hall and cross through those doors. And you know, you'll be standing on one side, and all of a sudden you'll see the business reporter from what used to be the Gazette come over and be working with the business reporter from the Daily Mail, and they're sitting there and they're talking about what they're going to do, what aspect of a story they're going to do together.
For people who don't know the physical layout of the Charleston Gazette and the Charleston Daily Mail, now the Gazette Mail, it was literally a hallway down the middle. And on one side is the Daily Mail, and on the other side is the Gazette. And rarely did the twain meet. I know there are a lot of people in the Gazette newsroom that are coveting the Daily Mail windows.
Yes. Yes, they are. Now, I do see more people tending to gravitate and talk on the Daily Mail's original side because they do have windows.
Well, that'll be if that's their biggest problem, who gets the window side, you'll be lucky. The other thing that's interesting that people may not know who are listening right now is that your husband also has a huge role in Charleston newspapers.
Yes, he does. Yes, he does. He is the president and CFO of Charleston Newspapers and has taken on the financial side of running the business. And previously, two newsrooms operated, they were each given a budget, and then they operated on their budgets of how, you know, whatever they were given. Then Trip would deal a lot with advertising and circulation. And
if you don't mind me asking, my parents own a small business together. And when they were at work, they talked about home. And when they were at home, they talked about work. How do you guys deal with the fact of being both married and in the same workplace together?
Well, I think we've been so incredibly busy with work at least the last week. We really only talk about work when we're at work and when we're at home. And our children are getting much older now. And so our oldest is away in college, and our daughter is a rising senior in high school. And then we have a 13-year-old. And all three of them have been gone a lot this summer. So we really haven't had the kid issues to talk about a whole lot, which has been very different, very different.
Susan Shumate is publisher of the Charleston Gazette Mail. We really appreciate you taking the time to talk to us today.
Well, thank you for inviting me to be here.
And you've been listening to The Front Porch. Our music is from Little Sparrow. Thank you, Little Sparrow, for providing that. Next week, we tackle the topic of stereotypes in West Virginia and in Appalachia, especially in photography, with Roger May. Roger is a spectacular photographer, the force behind Looking at Appalachia, and you'll want to hear what he has to say about some very, let's just say, provocative photos that were published in Vice magazine. So check it out next week on The Front Porch. This is Scott Finn, Executive Director at West Virginia Public Broadcasting. Thanks for joining us.